writer and comedian Emily Winter, and before I start this episode of Comedians with Ghost Stories, I would just like to tell my listeners that I am a trivia head, in addition to a ghost aficionado. I write for the NPR comedy trivia show Ask Me Another. I have a book of trivia coming out next year, and during this pandemic, I've been hosting trivia hours for a lot of offices and friend groups. So, if your office is trying to figure out what to do for a virtual holiday party or holiday happy hour, feel free to email me at emcwinter@gmail.com, and it'll be awesome. Okay, thanks. Enjoy the show. Today on the podcast, we have actor, writer, comedian Simone Norman, and she voices Eleanor on the CBS All Access show Tuning Out the News. So, I shouldn't have said your name already, but please welcome Simone Norman.
Hi, thank you. I remember I did that once at my very first comedy show that I hosted. I said the person's name before I did all of their credits, and she looked up at me from the crowd like, "You idiot." And the name was supposed to be a surprise. And I was like, so instead I said, "Please welcome." Well, I already said her name. And then I went, "Surprise." So
yeah, it's so embarrassing. You can tell I've been out of practice. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me.
I've regressed 8 years probably in the last month. So it's fine. And I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Very happy to have you. And thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to tell us your ghost stories.
Oh yeah.
And I'm so excited to hear them. So where do they happen? And we've got a couple I know. So we can start whichever one you want to.
We have two. Where do they happen? In my childhood. I grew up in Westchester, New York, which is like a county just north of the Bronx. And oh boy, I'm getting spooked already just going back to that time. I was at a sleepover, which I'm sure is the venue for a lot of these stories. And if it isn't, you know, then comedians, maybe they didn't have friends as a kid, but I wouldn't be surprised. But, I had like two friends and we had a sleepover one night. And it was in her basement. I remember being really freaked out in her basement for two reasons, which was, one, that they had a lot of cats and the cats all lived in the basement.
Okay.
I'm just setting the
stage. Creepy. Yeah. How old are you at this point?
I'm 11 or 12. And we're in this creepy basement. Oh, and then the second reason why I hated that basement was because she told me that her little brother, likes to jerk off in there. And I was just like, this is awful.
Did you know what that meant?
I knew what that meant, but I kind of didn't know. I was like, does that mean there's like cum everywhere? Like, what does that mean? Like, it
basically,
like,
yeah.
Basically, no. Yeah. I mean, can I sit on things? I don't want to touch anything. So we were having this sleepover and we did a Ouija board. And the Ouija board, I don't think that the Ouija board is really where the ghost stuff started. I think it was probably us being, you know, kids and moving it around. Somebody was moving it around. Although I can with 1000% certainty tell you it was not me. The planchette would leap. I'd have to move my fingers to catch up with it. Sometimes it was moving very fast out of my, out from under my fingertips a lot. So it was either my friend moving it very quickly or a very eager ghost. And actually, funny story about that Ouija board is obviously the only thing we could think to ask dead people was like, what are our boyfriend's names going to be? And mine, apparently I was going to start dating a, a boy named Michael in the December of that year. It didn't happen, but my fiance's name is Michael. Which,
oh my God.
Yeah. So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, that is crazy. And it would be way crazier if it was a rare name. You know?
I
know. It's like Gustav or something.
Way crazier if not every white man living in America's name was not Michael. but yes, so that was wild. But like I said, it could have easily been my friend moving it. However, her mother had passed away when she was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to speak to her mom. And I don't think we did. I don't think we did the Ouija board to try to contact her mom. I think we were just doing the boyfriend thing. I think we were just chatting about her mom and talking about how, you know, like about how she died and how, you know, she missed her and all this stuff. And I said, you know, well, what would you, you know, tell your mom if you could? The sleepover went from like their boyfriend to some really heavy stuff. And she said, if I could tell my mom anything, it would be that I miss her and I just wish I could have a way of knowing that she is with me. Like, I wish she could tell me in some way, like, I see you and I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, the lone candle in the basement that was illuminating this whole tableau went out.
Oh my God. And there's no like wind in the basement.
No, the basement has two things in it. Cats and cum. There's no there's no draft. It was a very like just kind of simple, like it just blinked out and started smoking. It wasn't like the flame bent and
pushed
out, like it just went out. And I had never been so scared. Sorry, my boyfriend's running around in the background. I had never been so scared before. And I didn't get any sleep. And the next day we had to watch The Notebook to get over it because we were so scared. And then that kicked in our like teenage brains a little more. And we started being like, no one's ever going to love me as much as Ryan Gosling, Rachel McAdams in this movie. And then we were able to forget about it. But looking back, like, that was crazy.
What did your friend do?
She started crying.
Oh,
it was really intense. But I don't think she was – I think she was really scared.
Yeah.
It, you know, it was unsettling. It didn't feel good.
Mm.
You know, it didn't feel comforting. It just felt very scary. But in retrospect, that's very – I mean, that's kind of beautiful. It is something I'll never forget. It was very startling and eerie, but you know, if it really was her mom, I mean, that's beautiful. And then I think, you know, I'm happy for her in that way. And it gives me some comfort that, you know, if our loved ones who depart really do kind of watch over us, like, I don't know if I really want them watching most of what I do, but
I have thought of that so many times.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I really want my dead grandpa to know what I'm searching for on Pornhub? Or is
do I want my like bubby who like perished in the Holocaust to know that I have like a giant pink dildo in my underwear drawer? Like, no, I don't. I feel like that kind of tarnishes the respect of having a family member who was in the Holocaust. I kind of make it a little less special because of my dildo, but like, whatever. Hopefully they only see the like good stuff,
the good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of have this feeling that they just sort of roll their eyes and are just like, ugh, gross people stuff. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Like, we're not
of yeah. the disgusting mortal realm.
Yeah, they're probably too busy trying to figure out, like, what the fuck, like, smartphones are from their aerial view. Yeah. Like, what is happening? All of the, they're like, wow, people will bring you a mattress in a box? That's amazing.
If you listen to this podcast. Yeah. No, break from our sponsor. No. Yeah. So what is your second story? Is it also from Westchester and your childhood home?
A second story is from, I had a friend who was rich. Everyone should have a rich, really rich friend, because you get to go to their, like, vacations. And she had a vacation house. We were upper middle class. We were living in Westchester. We were very comfortable, but we certainly didn't have an estate in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. So she did, and she invited me, and we went, and she told me that it was kind of like the kind of place that might be haunted or like has this weird energy to it whenever she's there. And so she wanted to bring a friend because it scared her sometimes. And I was probably like 14, so I was a little older. And we went, and it was fun in the sun. It was Hamptons. It was all the things you think the Hamptons are. And then this is less of a direct like, and then the candle blew out kind of story. But what happened that was interesting was, her mom was telling us, like, yeah, you know, I believe in spirits, and I believe there are spirits in this house specifically, but I'm not afraid of them because they're just people, and, you know, there's no reason to be afraid of people who are in your space and they're in yours, and or like you're in their space and they're in yours, and you're both just people. They're on the other side of things, but there's nothing to be afraid of. And I was like, interesting, they're just people. Cause, you know, I'd never seen a ghost and I didn't want to, and I imagined it would be horrifying. And I like to watch those like paranormal adventure shows or mm-hmm. whatever. And like, the lore on all those shows were always like, and she was in a white dress with blood running down the front, she had long hair and her eyes were black pits, and I was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But the idea of spirits just being people was comforting. So anyway, I was, and she told me specifically, I think a woman spirit is here, mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything to be afraid of about her. And I was walking down one of the like corridors in this fucking house, is so big, like down the hall, and there were bedrooms all lining by both sides of the hallway. And I was walking past one of them that had a door, that its door was open, and I kind of just glanced in, and I looked in the room as I was walking. I didn't stop or anything. I was just walking past and my head kind of turned over my shoulder and checked in. And I saw a woman sitting on the bed, just like clearly flesh, blood, daylight, middle of the day, just a person sitting on the bed, looked up at me, regular eyes, no blood, no, you know, eyes black tar pits or Victorian garb, just a person. I don't think I can describe her clothes. I think, but that's the point.
They were like just modern.
Yeah.
For the time. Yeah.
It was nondescript, just clothes. And I kept walking past the hall. It happened so fast that mm-hmm. I didn't even register it in time to like halt in my tracks and peek in further. I kind of just took a few steps past the room and then I was like, whoa. It was so, you know, when you catch something almost, it was practically out of the corner of my eye. And so, and I backtracked and I looked in and there was no one there. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And, it didn't feel like a visitation or whatever. It just felt like I saw a person and then the person wasn't there anymore.
What was her expression like? Just very blank?
Very blank. Just very like, I'm sitting on this bed and just like looking at me, like I'm looking at her, like, oh, acknowledging another person.
Okay.
And it was just, She was just there and then she wasn't. And it was like a piece of furniture had been, like in The Sims, like a piece of furniture had been deleted from the room. And then I look back and it's gone. It wasn't like, she vanished. It just...
Did you tell your friend and your friend's mom?
Yes.
And what did they say?
My friend was really scared. Her mom was like, you know, wow, I kind of knew it. Like I felt that. I believe you. And, I mean, I was still very scared. Even though it was not a startling moment in terms of like her energy was not startling and scary and she didn't mm-hmm. do anything scary, I still was very scared. Yeah. But, you know, then I left the next day and that was that.
Do you think, so it's so interesting that like the mother had felt a presence of like a feminine presence and then you saw it. Do you feel like you are a little bit more attuned to this kind of thing than your average person?
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is a little bonus, maybe that Comedians with Ghost Stories world maybe wouldn't have gotten otherwise, because it's not directly related to your like line of inquiry, but I have had prophetic dreams before.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, I don't know if you could call them prophetic. I've dreamt my mom's memories.
What?
Yeah, I've dreamt her memories, and when I brought things up to her and said, like, I dreamt about this weird thing, does that mean anything to you? She like went pale and was like, what? Because they were things she'd never told me and I wasn't supposed to know, and they kind of like came to me in a dream.
Is there something you can share?
It's my mom's like memories, so
yeah,
it's not, you know, if it were mine, like I am way too open and forward.
Right.
Here's the gossip, but I will say that it was stuff she'd rather have forgotten and chose not to tell her kids on purpose. And then I started dreaming specifics about it, and she was shocked and was like, well, I was not planning on ever telling you anything about that, but here, I'll, now that you have conjured it out of thin air, basically, I'll tell you about it. But
God. How old were you when this happened?
That happened this year.
Whoa.
During quarantine.
Oh my God.
No.
I wonder why now.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think that honestly, I was so understimulated in quarantine for a long time, you know, as we all were. I mean, you know, I work on that show on CBS All Access, but the amount of recording I do, like, it doesn't take a ton of time. Like, I had a ton of free time, just like mm-hmm. everyone. And, you know, I was depressed and weirdly anxious. And I think that I have a tendency to turn kind of during my life, like daily life, walk around blankly like, everything's okay. Like, I'm healthy and I have my loved ones and I'm working, so things are fine. And then at night, my brain kind of like takes over and is like, no, you're really upset about what's happening in the world, or you're, you know, you're understimulated. And, you know, my psyche kind of fills in this vacuum that I try to kind of keep going during the day. It's so psychoanalytic. My therapist is going to be thrilled to listen to this. And I think that my, you know, it's not, I thought that what it was that my brain was conjuring crazy stuff because I was so understimulated. Mm-hmm. And so when I brought it to my mom, I kind of was like, this is I'm having crazy dreams. Like, isn't that funny? And she was like, no, that's not a dream. And so it was wild.
I got chills. That's what I hope for every time I record. I just got chills. So that's so wild. So that's the first time, this is the first time that you've known that you sort of have this ability, or this ability has come out, right?
Yeah.
And how many times did that happen?
It's been happening all year. I would say in terms of, well, then once I kind of, it was confirmed to me that like I dreamt something I'd never experienced. Then I started having kind of dreams in reaction to that to try to process that, where it just, but I would say the amount of specific dreams I had that were telling me information that I would never have had otherwise would be around like 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this? Are you like, oh, I better write a book of how to get in touch with your mom's dreams? Or like, are you freaked out by it? What's your reaction?
You're out of touch with your mom's dreams. I need to change. I can help. I think that I'm a sensitive person, and I think that I always knew subconsciously that something was not being told to me. And I think that if you want to call it like paranormal intervention because I have like access to energies and memories that other people don't, you could call it that. I think you could also say that I'm very sensitive and very observant and kind of was able to piece things together beneath the surface. And then it was presented to me in a dream. That I don't know about because it was very specific and, you know, so that's why it was like especially eerie, but, I think that my psyche or my, you know, spirit guide or whomever wanted me to have a better understanding of my life and myself and my family. And so it gave that to me.
That's so interesting. I love it. Oh man. Yeah. I'm glad we talked about that.
I know. It's pretty eerie. It's like hard, you know, I don't know what to do with that really. Like going to a book where it's like, I don't know, but it's pretty recent. So maybe something good will come of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you just wait and see what else your brain gives you during this time. Hey, the pandemic's going to keep going. So you have time.
Hey, you're from your mouth to God's ears, honey. So yeah, the pandemic will keep going. It's true. And you know, that's awful, but we are where we are right now. And I'm just gonna, I think that the best advice anyone can give and take during this time is like, just take it one, like day by day, because we can't really make plans right now. And, so I'm just gonna, you know, today I'm talking to you about it. And
yeah. Do you have like a favorite scary movie or scary show that you love?
I mean, those paranormal shows like Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters are like categorically not scary and very made up. I love the guy though who hosts Paranormal Adventures, the like really buff guy who like goes to these haunted locations. He's like, show yourself, you won't do it, push me to the ghosts. And I'm like, but my favorite scary movie like that legitimately I find to be like a piece of art and very terrifying is It Follows.
Yeah. I was just talking about my sister with It Follows. She's like, I'm never gonna, she was saying like, I'm never gonna forget it. It's lodged in my brain for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So I've seen it like 4 times because not only is it very terrifying and so well done, it is like a really beautiful movie. Like the director did a lot to kind of disorient the viewer. Like, you know, if you notice the, you can't really tell what season it is. You'll have a scene where like a girl will be wearing shorts and flip flops and her sister's wearing like a fall coat and a scarf and they're walking down the street together. You can't tell what year it is. Like the TV and the style of their house is very 1970s. And like they're watching old black and white cartoons on this little box TV, but the sister has like a cell phone that doesn't exist. It's like that little clam-shaped cell phone, and like you don't really see her family or realize that she's seeing her family in these specters until you've like kind of watched it a couple times. And like,
I think I need to rewatch this movie.
You need to rewatch it because there's so much that I got like only after watching it like the fourth time.
I just thought it was all like wear a condom. Like
I know.
But it sounds like I didn't pick up on some other things. That's really cool.
Oh, I mean, I didn't pick up on it. It had to be. I had to read it in a thing that was like, here's all the things you missed from this movie. And then I was like, whoa. And then I watched it back and was like, oh yeah, wow.
Whoa, cool, awesome. So just to wrap up, what have you been up to during this pandemic besides having dreaming your mom's
secrets?
Yeah.
Besides unearthing family secrets, I've been fostering a dog, which is really fun. Her name is Chicken. She's so cute. I think we're gonna adopt her. We'll see. And I painted an accent wall in my room. And I've been working, and auditioning, a little bit, cause you know, production was halted for so long, but now it's kind of, they're doing like there's like a flurry of activity again because they're like, maybe we can sneak in a season of TV before the second wave or whatever. But, yeah, so I'm mostly just kind of hanging out with this dog and doing self tapes, reading books and, you know, chatting with friends. Oh, and I actually have been watching old samurai movies with my best friend who is in Texas, and I miss him. He moved there recently, but to stay connected, we've been like watching old samurai movies.
And where can people find you on the internet and follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at YSimoneY, which is W-H-Y Simone, W-H-Y, and on Instagram at LocalHoney. Honey spelled H-U-N-N-Y.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I'm really excited to hear if you continue to have dreams.
Yeah.
Let me know.
This has been so fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I absolutely loved it. If you want to support the pod, you can always Venmo me at Emily-Winter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at EmilyMCWinter. That's Emily McWinter because my middle name's McKenna and I'm stupid and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have made it so complicated and I'm sorry. But it lets me know that you're out there and you like it. Also, you can rate and review this podcast. That's always a huge help. And thank you so much for listening and downloading. And please tell everyone you know and have a great day.